We're back here on our Saints and NFL draft recap here on WWL. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. We're happy to welcome in Dalton Wasserman, NFL and college football analyst. You can check him out on the host of Preferred Walk-On College Football Show. Dalton, thanks so much for joining us the Sunday after the draft. You have survived as well, and thank you for joining us so early on a Sunday.
Survived is always the word the day after the draft ends, but it's always a whole lot of fun.
Definitely is, man. A whole lot of fun. We're hoping for the New Orleans Saints, 8th overall pick, snagging that wide receiver, Jordan Tyson. Obviously, the question marks are the medical concerns that he's had in the past, but you look at the film and the talent there, pretty exciting addition for Kellen Moore's offense to pair up with Tyler Shuck.
Definitely an exciting addition. When you talk about Tyson, I think you talk about arguably the best route runner in the draft and a guy who showed at Arizona State after, you know, some time at Colorado and he was kind of stuck lower on the depth chart. But what he showed with the Sun Devils is that he can take over a game. And the biggest moments when you need the biggest plays, that guy can separate one-on-one. He can get open. He can find holes and zones. And he can make the biggest plays, the game-changing plays that decide football games. So I love it. As a compliment with Chris Olave, you know you've got the deep threat. I love that they added another deep threat in Bryce Lance later in the draft as well, but Tyson is a spectacular route runner. That intermediate range is really where he's going to thrive, and he's going to be a chain mover for that offense.
Yeah, you know, the word that comes up a lot is, you know, twitchy, sudden, and I think that's it's you watch him and you're like, okay, the top end speed, it's tough to know. He didn't run a 40, or at least not a timed 40, but the ability to just kind of change momentum and like reach top speed instantly. You know, I watch him play, and he's obviously bigger, but just in terms of how he's able to kind of glide and then just explode is Odell Beckham Jr. in terms of just the way he moves and his ability to kind of flip his hips. Well, what are your thoughts on Tyson and like how he compares at the NFL level in that regard?
Yeah, I don't know that he's quite, you know, A-plus explosive. You know, when you think about those super twitchy explosive guys like, you know, like Beckham, like a Tyreek Hill, like guys like that, he's not that twitchy, but the word for me is smooth, man. I mean, yeah. The approach and just the ability to get in and out of cuts, you mentioned it, the ability to decelerate is just as important as the ability to accelerate and, you know, get to your top gear, right? And I think his top gear is probably good, right? High 4.4, maybe low 4.5, and somewhere in that same range as Carnell Tate. But I think when you look at the way Tyson gets in and out of breaks, it's so sudden and he understands how to set up defensive backs, how to get in the blind spots, how to really get on their toes when it comes to, you know, guys are in off coverage, they're protecting against vertical routes, but he eats up that space quickly, and then he understands how to accelerate and manipulate defensive backs. So you really look, you watch his, you know, there's some of the highlight reels and things like that. Every player's got him, but when you watch him on a down-to-down basis and just his approach to route running, it's so much fun to watch. It's the right combination of a little bit of twitch, and I think it's really smooth and cerebral at the same time.
Yeah, I always get the impression that his like number one goal on every play is to embarrass the other guy as much as possible. You know, but again, it's kind of flipping to another pass catcher that the Saints added that doesn't really have a lot of tape because Georgia didn't really use him is tight end Oscar Delp. I think he's kind of the ultimate guy who you watch and you're like, man, there's talent there, there's ability. And then you go to the tape and you're like, you go to the stats and you're like, wait, did I type the name in wrong? You're telling me this guy has never had more than 24 catches in a season? He's got 70 catches in 4 years at Georgia. Like, why doesn't the production match the tape? Curious, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Delp and how he projects to the NFL as both a blocker and as a pass catcher?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Through this process, in a vacuum, I'm not Oscar Delp's biggest fan like some in the draft community, but I really like this fit with the Saints, right? Get him in that more movable number two role behind Juwan Johnson, right? And I think when you look at what he had to do at Georgia, especially after Brock Bowers left, he was left in line a lot. You know, he's an athletic, faster guy who can really win in open space, but I think he's a good enough blocker, right? He could put a little bit more size on, but having that experience of playing in line allows Kellen Moore to put him in traditional roles, and having Juwan Johnson, who's been there obviously for a long time, you can move Delp all around the formation. The one thing that would excite me about Delp and the open field speed that he has is that in this offense that I would assume Kellen Moore would want to get into more of the RPO game and a lot more underneath throws, right, with more of these weapons, you know, at his disposal. I think Delp can be one of those guys. If you look at the way he used to use his tight ends even in Philadelphia and just constant, you know, like with Dallas Goedert, just underneath throws, RPOs, easy yardage for the quarterback, right, confidence builders, things like that. I think Delp, if you lose him in open space, he can be a real problem, and they have the maneuverability now with all these new weapons in their offense to use him in that manner, right? So really, Georgia, they never really used his athleticism to their full advantage. I think Kellen Moore is going to find a way to be able to do that.
Now, Delp was the second Bulldog of back-to-back Georgia players taken for the Saints here. In round two, they end up with defensive tackle Christian Miller. Big boy for the middle for them. What was your overall take of his tape?
Oh, he's awesome, man. I'm telling you right now, this is just a player. He doesn't put up the flashy stats. You're probably never going to get, 10, 12 sacks out of him or anything crazy like that. But this is somebody who makes your football team better. He makes your entire front seven and all the guys around him better. Monster in run defense, right? And a lot of people see him as just a nose tackle, just a guy that's going to play in the A gaps on either side of the center. I don't think that's true. I think the way that he can move across the line of scrimmage from tackle to tackle in run defense, especially, he's going to be a real problem for teams now trying to run on the Saints. They've been kind of weak on the interior for multiple years now, but he's a guy who can really plug those holes up front. I think Brandon Staley getting into different defensive fronts, if he wants to go to a four-man or a five-man, I think Miller fits in any which way. It's one of my favorite picks in the entire draft, to be honest with you. I thought he would have been a great fit there. I think his flexibility, I think the run-stopping ability is going to help this team big time, and especially free up those linebackers behind him, because these offensive linemen have been getting too much free access to the second level when they play the Saints the last couple years. Miller, honestly, he's the Saints' favorite pick for me. He's my favorite pick, I should say, for the Saints in this draft.
Yeah, and it was an interesting draft for the Saints because they went so heavy on offense, but then it's like they did that Christian Miller pick really is intriguing. I'm curious, just looking at their overall class, I'm curious, what would the grade you put on it be? It's obviously a little early. We haven't watched any of them play, but just kind of on the whole, the eight picks, and I feel like you kind of do have to lump Tyree Wilson in there to some extent just because they traded the number 150 pick to get him. But what are your thoughts just overall on the class the Saints brought in?
This is a really good class. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll probably give this somewhere around an A-. I think somewhere in there. I love the Tyson pick as long as he's healthy. I love the Miller pick. Delp maybe was a little high for me, but that's kind of my personal opinion. But he's still a good fit there. And then even some of these day three guys, man, Jeremiah Wright, Bryce Lance, Berrion Brown to go back there and just even just return kicks is a good value in the sixth round. I'd probably give it somewhere around an A-. And if we knew that that Jordan Tyson would be healthy throughout his career and he's going to be fine, that might even be up to an A. I think the Saints had a really, really good weekend.
When we look at the division, Dalton, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, curious your thoughts on Reuben Bain Jr. Short arms or not, I'm not happy about having to face a guy that's a pretty ticked off twice a year here in the division. Just overall, I know the tape doesn't lie on him either, but what are your thoughts on Reuben Bain Jr. and that short arm, I guess, stigma that's surrounding him coming into the NFL?
Look, I know it's an outlier, and I know every year we've got a short arm guy now. It was Will Campbell coming out of LSU last year. It's Reuben Bain this year on the other side of the ball. Reuben Bain's a spectacular football player. To be honest, through most of this process, I thought these teams would be foolish to let him out of the top 10, and he got all the way to 15, and you're right, you're going to hate facing him twice a year because he's the perfect player that Tampa Bay needed. He's got the short arms, but I haven't seen anybody in this draft who knows better how to overcome that with his technique, with his hand placement. His lower body is just incredibly strong. It's unbelievable that he can even kick down inside and play the run head up over tackles and things like that. It was one of the best picks in the entire draft, maybe the best pick in the entire draft, considering they didn't even have to trade up to get him, and it was exactly what they needed in the right time. This kid is so well coached. Jason Taylor, obviously Dolphins legend, was his defensive line coach down there in Miami. Nobody is better coached right now for the NFL game at that position than Reuben Bain and even his teammate Akeem Mezidor.
Well, what I appreciate most about him is he's all football. He didn't even get a haircut for the combine. He goes by, he walks past that like posing mirror that everyone takes their time and looks in.
Just give me the hat.
Snatches the hat off the table. I'm going to the podium. Look, we're not messing around. Like you have to appreciate that about a player. And just kind of looking around at the draft as a whole. Give me some of your favorite picks, maybe your favorite classes, maybe favorite combinations of guys that ended up somewhere. Like, what are some of the things that stood out for you throughout the course of this draft?
I mean, we knew it coming in, but it's such a heavy defensive draft class. I think just the shortage of offensive playmakers really pushed some of the guys early at the top, but this was a defense-heavy draft class. If you needed to fix your defense like certain teams, one that sticks out at me, I thought the Dallas Cowboys had an unbelievable draft. You talk about, they get to trade up one spot, the Dolphins pass on Caleb Downs, and they get a guy who, to be honest, was number one on my big board. Caleb Downs is as good a safety prospect as you're going to get. I think he can change the complexion of the Dallas defense. Malachi Lawrence, Jayshon Barham both off the edge. Devin Moore in the fourth round at corner. I thought Dallas was awesome with what they needed and how they needed to fix their draft. And then, I'll be honest with you, we don't give this to them a lot. The Cleveland Browns, man, you talk about supporting whatever quarterback they're going to have and stacking up, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Spencer Fano, a left tackle. Two good receivers who both could have gone in the first round with Casey Concepcion and Denzel Boston. Then you get a value like Emmanuel McNeil Warren at safety, too. I'm telling you right now, if the Browns, you know, and I, again, this is always the butt of the joke here that we get to, but if the Browns are to turn around their franchise in the next couple of years, I think this draft is going to be a big reason. They did a fantastic job.
Wow, finding positive spots for the Cleveland Browns. Yes, indeed. Dalton, too, one last one about quarterback Garrett Nussmeier. Man, oh man, what a tumble for the poor kid. I thought he was going to definitely be a day two selection. Ended up being a seventh round pick. Were you hearing anything more about why he has, you know, was such a dramatic fall from being at least a mid round pick for the, and then going in the seventh?
Very strange. Very strange to me. I had him as the third best quarterback in the draft. I thought that round three, maybe early round four range is where he would have gone. And, you know, when you talk about the pedigree that he has as Doug Nussmeier's son, the arm is plenty good enough when he's healthy, right? It doesn't, not a great athlete and doesn't bring great tools, but man, there was a lot to work with there. I thought we'd be talking about a guy who, okay, sit for a couple of years and then maybe we see if he has decent starting potential, but shocked. And I think when you look at, you know, draft analysts throughout NFL media and they're looking at Nussmeier going, there's got to be something else at play here. There's got to be something, or teams just don't believe in his tools. I mean, honestly, when I see guys like Baron Morton and Ethan Kalik-Manis and certain other guys go ahead of Nussmeier, I'm like, what is going on here? This just doesn't feel right to me. Maybe they're worried about the injuries and the size and the way that he was banged up this past year, but he's a way better player than that. And honestly, he gets to sit pretty comfortably learning with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. We'll see how he develops behind the scenes, but him dropping to the seventh round is not something I had. I had him as the third best quarterback in the class.
Yeah, there was a point where I felt like they were picking Madden creative players before Garrett Nussmeier. And you know, I guess if I'm looking at that and I'm Garrett, I'm looking over at Brock Purdy and I'm saying, you know, no one believed in that guy either. He found a way. Brock was literally the last pick in the draft. And so my last question for you, and Garrett's off the table because we already talked about it. Who's the seventh round pick in this draft if you have one? That you feel like is the steal of the seventh round.
Oh, you're making him dig deep.
I am making you dig deep, but I trust that you've got an answer for me.
Let me see here. Let me dig through, because there's always names that sneak in at the end that you just go, that guy should not have, you know, that guy should not have fallen that far. You know,
right? Because that late in the draft, you're so exhausted at looking at things, you kind of miss some.
Can I cheat and take two guys for the same team? I'm going to take two guys.
That I think
have a shot.
We'll allow it.
We're going to look up here at the Cincinnati Bengals. Two guys, tight end Jack Andrews out of Texas, is a really solid player. Had a better 2024 at Cal than he did this past year at Texas. And the Bengals, to me, are always, you know, they're looking for those traditional tight ends who can catch the ball, too. He's got really good hands. I thought he could have been around three or four pick. And then the defensive tackle out of Navy, Landon Robinson. I'll tell you what, don't sweat the fact that he went to an academy school and he played group of five football and all that. This kid's a really good athletic football player playing on a team that needs defensive tackles, even beyond Dexter Lawrence in the worst way. I think since he got two good ones there, Jack Andrews and Landon Robinson.
Man, host of the preferred walk-on college football show, Dalton Wasserman, joining us there with that wealth of knowledge. Thank you, man. Besides the coffee, you were a shot of injection of energy for us today.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys as always, man. And hey, in a little bit on preferred walk-on today, we're going to have our 2027 way too early mock draft first round. Myself and Max Chadwick, check that out when you get a shot.
Love it. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. That was Dalton Wasserman, NFL and college football analyst, host of the Preferred Walk-On College Football Show. You can follow him on X at CFB_Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. Really great wealth of knowledge there, breaking things down. And you heard how excited he was, too, over the prospect of Jordan Tyson coming into this offense.
No, and again, I think he said it there. It's like, yes, there's injury concerns, there's whatever. It doesn't really matter anymore. We're past talking about value, we're past talking about gambling, and it's like, okay, what if he is on the field? And the answer is, if he is not a guy that's constantly in the training room, you stole him at number eight. He's a steal. He's the best wide receiver in the draft. And from this point on, it's no longer about should they draft him, it's what exactly are they going to get out of him. And I think the Saints are very excited. I think fans will be very excited when they see him out there.
Yeah, with now Jordan Tyson, Chris Olave, and you would think you put at number three Devon Valet. It's a pretty interesting wide receiver trio.
Has to be Valet. Just from a he's just a big slot. He's a guy who can fit in there. And if you want to get a little more speed on the field, then you turn and you look at, hey, okay, Bryce Lance, and you got a Jalen Polk in there too. Like, there's that wide receiver battle in camp is gonna be a show. Like, it's gonna be a movie, and I'm looking forward to it.
Taking a break here in our Saints Draft Recap Show. You can chime in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line 504-260-1870. If you're not enjoying Jazz Fest, enjoy our Draft Fest Recap here on WWL after this.